Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to the show. Junks live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington, presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team today.
All right, just to clear something up on the Browns-Bengals story, I have not followed it. Pedro was reporting, but it was the Browns that actually credentialed the filming crew.
Okay.
Not the Bengals, and then the Bengals employee saw that the crew was filming the sideline of the Bengals. That's when they alerted officials.
Ah, okay.
So, which makes sense because the game was in Cleveland, correct? Cincinnati just played in Cleveland?
Yes. Right,
so it was the Browns that credentialed, not the Bengals. So that's why the story is controversial.
I'll just be honest. Anytime I hear about another team videotaping another team, I think my brain just shuts off. To me, it's almost a non-story. I mean, like, these teams have access to all the film from all the games. Like, what sort of extra advantage are they getting by filming something on the sideline that I don't see the big deal about it. I don't see all of the uproar in it. Yeah. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe it is cheating. I don't know.
Right.
But when I hear that the Patriots have brought a stupid camera in to film another team, I don't care.
Well,
I couldn't care less, actually.
It's only a story because it's New England.
Right.
Who happens to be playing the Bengals this weekend.
Correct.
But you could play the backups and beat the Bengals. So I don't put a lot of stock into it. But it's the Patriots, and it happened before, and it was a big deal. So I can see why people are talking.
Hopefully
about it.
The Ravens are not playing their backup quarterback to get back, to bring it all back to Lamar on Thursday night. I need to go with that. I need to believe in Valdez's wackadoo theory that Harbaugh is just putting it out there. Hey, our guy's getting dinged up. Let's stop it with the low hits on Lamar, and that he's fine, and he's going to play at least three quarters of the game against the Jets. There's just a lot riding on that.
I think he'll play, yeah. But he may not play four quarters, like you said.
If the ball can the Jets, can you stay?
And they may just give it to Ingram for, 25 times.
I don't like that. Jets, can you stay frisky and competitive in the game and keep it, within 10 points so the Ravens have to keep trotting out the starters? Can you do that, please, on Thursday night?
Thursday games usually aren't very good, so I can see this game being ugly and lower scoring.
Right, like if it's 31.
I can't imagine the Jets are going to put up a ton of points.
So if Lamar plays and it's 31-3 at halftime, it's RG3 coming out for the second half.
Absolutely.
That can't happen. That's a disaster. It's a full-on disaster.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, this is all fantasy mania related, just in case anybody couldn't see through. I'm just trying to be as transparent as possible.
Do I start Tyler Boyd this weekend? They're playing the Patriots. He's usually my flex receiver. I don't know if I can.
You know what I always like to say to you when you throw out an option to me? I always say,
who else is out there?
Who's on the waiver wire?
Believe me, there's no one better than Tyler Boyd on the waiver wire.
Well, if that's the case, then you have to start him. You have to hold your nose and start him and hope for the best.
I mean, he's a number one receiver. You have to start a number one receiver.
You got to do it.
Okay.
By the way, we are scheduled to have Dave Richard on again this week, correct? Because,
I hope so.
It is a fantasy playoffs.
I hope so.
Yeah, of course.
So he's going to be on with us.
I would assume Thursday at 8 o'clock.
People have a lot of questions. I have a question. Who is Valdez making lunches for on the staff here at 106.7 The Fan? What? I hadn't heard. This is the first I'm hearing of this.
Well, this is the first time that I did it since I had a lot of leftovers last night.
Mm-hmm. Leftovers, okay.
And since Adam
what kind of leftovers?
I made like pulled steak fajitas.
Well, that sounds pretty good.
So I had a steak in a slow cooker for a long time, and it was able to pull right apart, and then put it in a little fajita with some peppers.
Sounds
pico.
So yummy.
Salsa verde. It was silly.
So you have to slow cook the steak, or couldn't you just?
Well, it was a different kind of. It was a chuck roast.
Mm. Domestic.
You said that was in a pot all day?
Yeah, slow cooker.
Yeah, slow cooker. And when it just falls apart, it's the best.
Oh, it's so money.
Yeah.
It's delicious. It just pulls right apart. You can take a fork and just spread it all open.
Yeah, it sounds so good.
It's really good, yeah.
So Adam has this bet with you guys about being, is it under 202 or 202 or lower?
I think it's 202 or lower. 202 is the magic number.
I think 202 gets it done, yeah.
So I don't want to give anything away, but I feel like this challenge is going to be a lot closer than people think.
Oh, really?
Can you tell just looking at him that he's lost, you know, 10 pounds or more?
So he does this weird thing where he's lifting up his shirt, showing his belly to everyone, and his belly's disgusting. Don't get me wrong. It's gross. There's so many stretch marks. I mean, it flops all over the place. But if you look
Relatively young. He's what, 26, 25 or 26?
And if you look a little higher towards his rib cage, he's definitely losing a little bit of weight.
Okay.
It's just not in his belly. If you look at his face, it used to be a lot fatter, a lot more bloated. So I can personally tell that he's losing a little bit of weight.
Okay.
Slowly but surely.
So if he was at 229, he was at 229 before we made the challenge.
Yes.
Right? What do you think he's at now? 219 or lower?
I don't know exactly, but I would say it's lower.
Okay.
I would definitely say it's lower. And you think about it, he was a big fatty, and he was definitely obese, and it's easier to lose weight when you're a big fatty.
Right.
Believe me, I'm not going to be happy if I have to peel off a Hunsky and give Adam $100. I'm not going
to
be happy.
So what I did was I had all these leftovers, and Adam's trying to do this low-carb bit. So I put the pulled steak with some hot pico and the peppers and onions and some cheese and some salsa verde and mixed it together for him, and then I brought it. Then I brought it in a little Tupperware container.
Yes, you did.
And then I wrote him a little motivational note.
Why are you trying to take money out of our pockets? You understand that's what you're trying to do.
I want to motivate him because I know this is hard for him.
Are you team Junks or are you team AWOD?
This is a very
precarious situation.
You like to make fun of him more than anybody, but you're trying to help him out.
Well, I want him to win the bet.
But why?
I don't know. And I figure if he can change his lifestyle a little bit, he can get to a more respectable weight.
And so you actually do care about him, basically acting
as his life coach right now. You're pulling a Chris Farley. That's what you're doing.
I wouldn't say that, but I want to show him there's options out there that you can eat stuff that tastes good.
So you're making him lunches daily?
I don't know. I think I might do this tomorrow too.
Hold on. Did you already give it to him?
I gave it to him this morning, and then he said he was going to try it at 9:45, but I made him try it now before the segment so that he could give his Valdez food lunch
review.
I absolutely love it, but there is some drama behind the scenes here because ever since I started this weight loss challenge, Drab is so jealous of all the attention I'm getting.
Oh, really?
That he started his own weight loss challenge.
Oh, you did?
You've inspired Drabby. True?
Not at all. I'm not jealous of him at all. He's getting zero attention.
All right, what did you mean?
Negative
then?
Attention. He thinks he's getting positive attention.
Right.
Look at the comments on the poster on the picture from the Christmas show where he's wearing the elf sweater.
Right.
People are hammering him. There's not one positive comment. Right. I'm not jealous of anything.
Oh, okay.
All negative ADs.
Well, I will say I stare at his belly every day, and I can tell that it's decreasing.
Smaller. All right.
But tell Valdez to cut the crap about this. I care about Adam and his well-being. Here's what's going on. Valdez loves attention more than anybody.
Yes,
and
he does.
And he wants AWOD to go, you're such an amazing cook.
This is Matt Valdez.
You're spectacular, Valdez.
This is Matt Valdez.
I wrote him a note. I wrote him a note, too.
That's a fake note.
Okay, but
what does the note say?
It says, some motivation for you.
Is there
Enjoy.
Some truth to that? Is there some truth to what Drabby just said?
What, that I like attention?
You do love
it. Of course. Everyone likes attention. Why do you think we're in this business?
So I think that's probably more what it is, that you know you're going to get on air, you're going to get on mic, and you're going to say, I made this great meal for AWOD. AWOD's going to say, oh, it's so good.
Well, no, I didn't do it for attention. But Drab did say, and this morning says, hey, you got a segment that we can kill? And I said, yeah, I brought Adam lunch.
Perfecto.
So
I will say, brilliant idea.
Hands down, this is the greatest lunch I've had this year. And I don't know.
Better than Kava.
I don't know how much he picked this up from the store and how much he totally, did he dice the onions himself? But the onions and the peppers give it a great kick.
It's acting like it's hard to dice onions.
And the meat is so juicy and tender.
It's the best meal you've had all year. It's December 9th. Are you
this
serious?
This right here. tastes better the palm.
Like you remember
Oh, it's that good.
Like you remember
way to take care of a friend of the show for the last 15 years.
He doesn't remember what lunches he had in February, March.
Of course he doesn't. How would he remember that?
Take it in a cake. He'll try it.
Yeah, I'd like to take
bring
a bite.
A separate fork.
You can just grab it with your fingers.
Yeah.
That's fine. Can you bring it in here so I can sample it?
Make sure you get a whiff of it.
Valdez has brought food over to my house before. Right, he loves it.
Let's see if this is best meal of the year worthy. All right.
Does it smell good?
There are definitely some tortilla chips in here.
Well, I know, because I wanted to give him a little crunch.
All right. You want to
do full low carb for him.
All right, I'm going to get a healthy bite here. Get a few tortilla chips.
Oh, geez, that's a big bite.
All right.
It's pretty good. Got a little kick to it.
I'm not going to try it.
Yeah, Jason was not going to try that.
I don't know.
No, I don't know.
I'm sick. I'm sick.
No.
I can barely smell. I mean, it smells good. I'm sure it's tasty.
I don't know if it's...
But to say it's the best lunch you've had all year...
Definitely got a kick to it. I mean, this is medium to... Right. Yeah, medium spice.
Yeah, don't you like your fajita spicy?
Sure.
Or your taco salad spicy?
The spice really makes it great.
It's not lunch of the year worthy, but it's good. Well done.
Drab's just jealous because I've taken an interest into Adam's weight loss and not his.
No, you've taken an interest in yourself.
That's
this is
probably
a roundabout
accurate
way to get that. It is. It's a constant competition in here.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
Everybody's just jockeying, just but vying.
There is an official side bet that I have to be under 202, but I also have to weigh less than Drab T-shirt. That is an official bet that we made for $10.
So that's a side bet.
And you guys here, Drab is trying to lose weight. He's gaining weight right in front of my eyes.
Oh, he is?
His belly line is growing.
He's so stupid.
It's belly line.
You just say outrageous things, though. You just say outrageous
things. I'm just over
here
minding my own business, not talking about a diet or eating carbs, and then suddenly I'm doing a diet to copy AWOD.
Yeah. So hold on. So are all four of us in for the $100?
I think three of us.
Oh, I think
I don't know if all four of us are.
I thought we muscled JP into doing
maybe
it.
He might be. I can't remember.
All right.
I think JP's in because JP's the number one AWOD hater. So I would assume that he's bet against Adam.
Yeah.
I want you guys to know that they are planning a scam for this whole weigh-in thing. Valdez is telling him to buy a sweatsuit and to go running the morning of. You can shed 12
this
pounds.
This is Matt Valdez.
This is easy. We could do it tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I did tell him about the trash bag. In the
that
shower.
That would help.
I also gave him the tip of doing like a David Blaine and standing on the scale with one foot and kind of levitating the other one over it.
Well, there will be none of those shenanigans. It's going to be a strict way.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to watch him do it.
It's not going to balance on one foot like some stupid hack magician. It's not happening.
But if I stick with my plan, I don't see how I don't get under the weight of just, look, I'm eating low carb, smaller portions, I'm planking five times a day, and I'm hitting the gym.
Planking.
I'm all over that elliptical.
I will say his gym sessions are so weak.
Uh-huh.
He's walking on a treadmill for 15 minutes. That's his cardio.
Well, it's more than he ever did before.
That is true.
Yeah, it's an improvement.
No, I was telling my friend, this is the first time for probably 2.5-3 weeks straight, including the weekend, 7 days in a row. So 21 days in a row, I've hit the gym every single day. And since probably like ninth grade when I was playing hoops.
Well, good. I'm glad you feel good about yourself.
Adam posted a story on his Instagram of when he like got on the treadmill. And so I think he went 0.15 miles and then he flipped the
switch. Hold on. 0.15?
I know.
1.5.
0.15. He was just starting his walk.
Okay.
And then he flipped the camera around to his face, sweating profusely after 0.15 miles. It did make me laugh.
He's getting in that strenuous workout.
By the way, this is why I gave him the temptation gift for Kringle, for Secret Santa.
Yeah, you are trying to sabotage him. I like it.
I gave him nothing but carbs.
You gave him bread, pasta.
I gave him a big bottle of wine.
Right.
Yeah, I gave him cookies.
The cookies are sitting in my cabinet.
So you haven't eaten any of that stuff. I had a little bit of the bread.
I've been rationing the bread like I'm a rat.
Yeah.
And so I cut the smallest portion, and I toast it, put a tiny bit of margarine.
I don't even know if you are a wine drinker. You probably don't even like wine.
No.
Do you even know how to open up a bottle of wine?
Anything that gets you drunk, I drink it.
Oh, okay.
Come on, Jason.
All right, well.
Especially if it's free.
It was a temptation gift, but
right.
I mean, I guess he's holding steady.
Keep those coming. I mean, he's limited time left until the weigh-in. When is the official date of the weigh-in? Do we know the day we're all back?
Yeah. It's got to be the day we're back because he's saying it's January 1st. I'm going to take a photo of
it and send it in. It's when, well, you know what?
When the ball drops, I kind of want to step on the scale.
It's actually more advantageous. The earlier would be better for us. Well, we're actually hooking him by doing it on.
There's no payoff.
That's true.
You know,
yeah, we need a payoff.
Going to tweet a photo of it.
No, come on, not good enough.
I got to do something when the ball drops because I probably won't be making out with anyone.
Probably.
We know that's not going to be
happening. There's a
chance. Yeah.
All right. Good to get that update. Thank you again for the sample of Valdez's lunch. It was kind of tasty. Coming up next, Alan May is going to join us, and he's going to talk about the Caps. They took one on the chin last night at Capital One Arena, losing 5-2 to the Blue Jackets. Alan May.
Still having a great year, 49 points.
Amazing year. Alan May coming up next right here on 106.7 The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Still shut down the party. I can hang with anybody.
Welcome back to the show. Junk's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Happy to welcome in Alan May, Capitals analyst for NBC Sports Washington. He's driven by Dulles Motor Cars in beautiful downtown Leesburg. Check them out online at DullesMotorCars.com. Hello, Alan. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up, Alan?
Not a great night for the Caps last night. They lose 5-2 at home to the Blue Jackets.
They were due for a dud.
Talk about the performance last night. And back he returns. That's one positive. He had a goal and an assist in the loss. So good to welcome him back, but not a great performance for the good guys on home ice.
No, not good at all, though. I thought the Blue Jackets were on fire right from the start of the game. Their puck pressure was outstanding, and John Tortorella always winds his teams up, no matter who he's coaching, to play well against the Caps. And I just thought the Caps were off all game long. They couldn't get the puck out of the zone, and that's been the strength of everything they've been doing, in my opinion, how they get the puck down the ice. And they weren't able to advance it last night. And when they did, they were stuck on the perimeter because there was so much great defensive effort from the Blue Jackets. So I chalked that one up to it going 100% the way of the Blue Jackets' game plan. And the Caps could never solve it and get going.
Did it kind of remind you, I was at the game against Montreal, I think about 2.5, 3 weeks ago, roughly. It kind of reminded me of that game as well, where Montreal just kind of got out on them early, never able to get back into it.
Well, it's a little bit different in the fact that the Caps never woke up physically that game. Whereas
right.
Last night, you know, it was a physical battle. It was, you know, if that was a playoff game, it would have been outstanding. You know, it was a dud on a Monday night. The building was not full, and they never let the Caps get into the game. They stifled all the emotion and the energy that the home teams thrive off of. And I honestly felt being at ice level last night between the benches, when the players were coming to the bench, they looked tired. They looked exhausted. And, you know, not making excuses, and I can't ever remember it being a factor when I played, but, you know, the West Coast travel, coming back, the time change, the jet lag, whatever it is, they didn't look energetic. Normally, Jacob Ron is a ball of energy out there. He was kind of like expressionless last night. And maybe, you know, part and parcel of that is how well and how effective the Blue Jackets played their game and kind of sucked the life out of the Capitals players.
Yeah, I mean, and like you mentioned, this comes on the heels of sweeping California. All right, so they go out there and they fly all the way back. They were kind of due for this letdown, but they're 14. This is, I want to ask you about this. They're 14-3 away from home. That's an incredible record. Usually, you're better at home than on the road, at least in most sports. But for whatever reason, the Caps on the road have been dominant. Why?
You know, the game is simple for them. They go in and they play more of a defensive brand. And, you know, I think right now it's just a thing. They're just playing, they're thriving, they're confident. And one thing, you know, when Barry Trotz got here, especially, and now it's Todd, and Todd's showing to be such an incredible coach this season, is they made sure that they were going to have a good record to play on the road, no excuses, and then, you know, be a better team in back-to-back games, and all of that has improved every single season. But they're just on a good roll right now, and there a lot of thought went into how they plan their schedule and making sure. I think it was by design that they weren't in San Jose on a Saturday night. They went in there on a Tuesday, an early weeknight, and kind of like last night with the Blue Jackets, they come in there on a Monday night, and the Caps had a very different-looking schedule this year, how they played teams, when they played them. You know, they did play teams that didn't know how bad they are yet in the first month, and it's paid off for them. And now they're just on a roll playing with so much confidence where, you know, maybe they lose the first 3-4 games of the season on the road, they never get on track. So it's been a great start for them that way. And in the playoffs, we know how important it is to get road wins. So they got to keep working at this and keep on improving that record.
Alan, what is Coach Reardon like in the locker room from what you've heard after a performance like last night, where they're listless, not much jump to the team? Does he go scorched earth on the guys, or is he more measured? He realizes it's a long season. Maybe, you know, all the travel, like you mentioned, the jet lag, it caught up to them, and he kind of eases them through to the next game. How does he react?
He's a communicator, and it's all positive communication. And, you know, everything he would have said last night would have been a good message, you know, with some disappointment in it. But he's not going to beat the guys up over this. He looks at the standings still after the game. They're still first place overall in the National Hockey League. And, you know, you want to keep your guys together and just say, we've got to be better. And, you know, they don't need any help to motivate for the game tomorrow night against the Boston Bruins. So I think right now the strength of Reardon, he's got an incredible knowledge of the game, but his communication skills are through the roof. And I thought last year was a tough year for him. Coming in after the Cup, you know, you've got a guy that wins Coach of the Year while he's here. He's just a phenomenal dude in Barry Trotz. He's gone, and there's, you know, how do you communicate to the guys? What's the message? You probably overthought. I would think that right now Todd is more who he is as a coach, not having to think, well, the guys are tired, we won the Cup, you got to handle them this way. I think this year is the full effect of who he is as a person and as a coach.
All right, so you mentioned the Bruins. The Bruins game is here, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yes.
All right,
yep.
Bruins are leading the Atlantic. They have an 11-point lead over Florida in the Atlantic, so they got off to a hot start. Now, they're leaking a little oil lately. They've lost 3 straight, lost in Ottawa last night 5-2. Can you kind of break down this matchup, the way they're playing?
Well, the Caps have already beaten them this season, and I think it's the last 4 seasons the Caps have lost to them once. And they've just dominated them. And the only time they lost last year was the first time Boston in all those years had decided to play a defensive game. And when they try to go end-to-end, play super offensive, all 4 lines in the D, they get themselves in trouble against the Caps. The Caps have been able to use speed against them, physicality, and just the confidence of playing well against them. But I would expect, you know, the Bruins, their coach, they all want to prove that those days are over. They want to come in here, try to send a message. But it'll be a great game. They've got Zdeno Chara, Wilson, Ovechkin. They love going after him in the game, hitting him as much as they can. So it'll be a physical game. It'll be entertaining. And David Pastrnak right now is the best goal scorer in the league this season. He's ahead of Ovechkin. His hands are incredible. He's one of Jacob Vrana's best friends, and he flies around the ice. He's got great stick skills and an incredible knack for scoring goals. So the big thing there will be, you know, trying to shut that power play down and try to keep him in check with Brad Marchand and Patrice Bergeron.
Alan, it's just going to be a tremendous amount of offensive firepower on display in that game. Carlson has 43 points. He's amongst the league leaders. I think he's 6th right now overall. You mentioned Pastrnak. He's got 25 goals. Ovi's right behind him with 21. I mean, I don't see a 2-1 game here tomorrow night in Capital One. Maybe I'm crazy.
You're not crazy, but we've been off, I think, this year on everything we expected in every game. Games that we thought were going to be physical and out of hand, they were duds, they were yawners. And other games, rivalry games, were yawners as well. So, you know, as this game, as the coaching gets better in these games, in the National Hockey League as a whole, it's all about defense, and they're trying to get players and coach offense now more than they ever have. But you just never know. The Caps might just be all about checking the puck and playing a real patient game tomorrow night. But, you know, I doubt it. They still want to be a physical team, but they're at their best when they're playing great defensive hockey and turning that defense into goals. And I think the Bruins are probably trying to figure out what the Caps are so good at and maybe want to be more like the Caps. So you would think it wouldn't be a 2-1 game, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was, because, you know, the systems, the motivation to shut down Ovechkin, Kuznetsov, Backstrom, Oshie, all the Capitals top six, it'll be there for the Bruins. And the Caps, on the other hand, it'll be there to shut down that big line of Marchand, Bergeron, and Pasternak.
Joined by Alan May, Capitals analyst for NBC Sports Washington. Six of the next 10 games for the Caps are against Metro Division rivals. They've got two against Columbus. They can pay them back for that bad loss yesterday. Two against Carolina, one each with the Isles and the Devils. This is a pretty intriguing stretch for the Caps heading into early 2020.
And once again, bizarre the way we looked at the schedule change for this season, that it's taken this long to get into the Metro and the Eastern Conference. So I think we're going to start to see the Caps play a specific brand of hockey more often, because right now they've just been adapting so much. But it's going to be that time of year where they'll set it in stone which way they're going to play for the rest of the way. And everyone's motivated. They pay attention to each other's games when you're in the same conference, same time zones. And it's a tough schedule. And Columbus, you mentioned them. That's one of the teams that Ovechkin has never really lit up, or Backstrom. Ovi only has 17 goals in 34 games going into last night.
Only.
Against the
right.
Blue Jackets. So, it's compared to where, you know, Tampa Bay's got 45, 46 goals. There's a Carolina, he's in the 40s, maybe even 50 by now. But when I look at that, Columbus is always a tough team. So these games are going to be more of a grind now. They're going to be more physical, more defensive, and that's a great thing. I like the physical matchups more than anything, and that'll be the best part about this next stretch.
Alan, give me a quick update on the Caps prized guy in the system playing for Dale Hunter for the London Knights, Connor McMichael. He is just crushing it this year. 27 games played. He's got 25 goals and 34 assists.
Where did they draft him?
He's got 59 points.
Where and when did they draft him?
He was the first rounder, number 25 overall
this
in
past
2019.
Yeah, last June, and he's off to a great season. And he had a decent training camp here. They probably could have kept him and did the old nine-game thing and then made a decision to send him back to junior. But they wanted him to go back to junior and pair it up like this. And unfortunately for him, he probably won't lead the league in scoring, because with the World Junior Championships coming up, which he'll be a part of, he's going to be gone from his team for almost a month. So there's going to be all these other guys. They go, well, why did this guy who won the Ontario Hockey League scoring, why is he not in the NHL? Well, it's because Connor McMichael and a bunch of other guys left for a month. So he's a good hockey player. He's not going to be NHL ready yet, I don't think. I'd prefer when he does turn pro, he goes and plays at Hershey, gets his feet wet, and it comes up when he's ready defensively. And they've got another kid, Alexei Protas, who's playing in Prince Albert in the Western Hockey League, in the Canadian Hockey League. And he's leading the league in points as well, 6'5". And I felt he could have easily started a season for the Capitals. And he'll definitely play in the NHL a long time with McMichael, and maybe even has more of an upside than Michael at 6'6".
Alan, thanks as always for the time. We will talk to you again next week. That's Alan May, Caps analyst for NBC Sports Washington.
Take care, guys.
Yep, you too. Thank you, Alan. He's driven by Dulles Motor Cars, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Kia, and Subaru. Experience the Dulles difference in beautiful downtown Leesburg. And DullesMotorCars.com is where you're going to find them online. When we come back, we'll give you a Darius Geis health update right here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Coming up at 9 a.m., we'll get back into some Nats talk. Barry Svrluga, Washington Post sports columnist, he will join us at 9 to talk about the Strasburg signing, the possibility of Rendon coming back as well.
I can't tell you how much stuff is just coming out of my nose. Just dripping.
You're just leaking.
It's just dripping out of my nose.
Yeah, yeah. You desperately need to go straight to like a minute clinic or your doctor.
I mean, it's just...
Get the antibiotics. Get on that Augmentin, whatever it's going to be.
Look how much stuff I got. This is all little mini tissues.
It's very germy over here.
The paper towels just crush your nose so hard against your nose.
You know what you need? You need some puffs.
Yeah, I do.
You need some nice soft tissue. Yeah, it's so abrasive. You know how abrasive that is for your face?
The bottom of my nose hurts.
Got to take care of yourself.
It's just dry, and it's my head.
You know what?
Oh, man,
I'll bring some puffs in for you tomorrow.
I'm just hoping that I can get some antibiotics today.
100% you can.
Well, I hope so.
Lock, you can.
I'm going straight to the clinic right from work.
If they don't diagnose you with a sinus infection, if they say you have some sort of virus or whatever, that's the biggest hack doctor slash...
Because of virus, they won't be able to do anything with
it. No, virus means...
I just got to live with it.
Get out of here, you're wasting my time.
Yeah.
You're going to get diagnosed with an infection, and you're going to get some antibiotics. All right. Speaking of health updates, we have one for Darius Geis. This is from Ian Rappaport, national insider for NFL Network and NFL.com. This is from his Twitter, at Rapsheet. He tweeted this about 25 minutes ago. Redskins running back Darius Geis was diagnosed with an MCL sprain following his MRI yesterday, a source said. The ACL was intact, which is the best news. He won't play this week, and Washington will be cautious, so he may not play again this season. But all things considered, pretty positive.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the latest on Darius Geis, the update on his health.
I wouldn't play him.
I would be shocked if you saw him play again this season.
Yeah, what's the point?
Look, if you're contending for a playoff spot, if your record is flip-flopped and you have something to gain by playing him, if he's okay to go in weeks 16 and 17 and you clear him, maybe. But it being a lost season, his injury history, can't trot him out there for two meaningless NFC East games.
Yeah.
When you're trying to cobble together four or five wins.
Yeah, there's just no point.
Doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
All right, go to Dougie in South Carolina. He's always got some hot take.
This is Nubs. Doug? Doug.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up?
Hey, Lurch, what might be falling out your nose is those winners, man. I heard you went like 13-2 last week, and that's insanity.
You guys love stroking each other.
I went 13-4. I didn't do as well on Sunday, but 13-4 on Saturday. Yes.
Jeez. I know Doug McKinney's happy. We gave him three winners. I know that.
Good.
So,
well, I know you've been hot, my friend. Florida Atlantic was your Saturday game of the day. Nice pick.
And I love Navy to hammer. Just hammer Army. Army's won three in a row. The games have been close for years. Navy's just going to hammer them. But Drab wanted to keep me on track. So I'll talk about Geis, all right?
All right.
That guy, he's not that big. He's not that fast. He's had some good runs. And so far, I look to be wrong as far as I don't think he's going to be a very you know, outstanding. I think he's going to be an average NFL player when he's healthy. The reason I think he's going to be a bust is because he's not durable. And to be a successful running back in the NFL, you have to be durable. And Chase says it all the time. You can get a guy in the fifth round, sixth round, whenever. I mean, I don't think Geis is going to pan out. And, you know, when we look back on that draft, you know, I think Haskins is going to end up being a much better young player than Geis will be. I don't think we'll be talking about Geis in a few years. That's just what I think.
Well, we'll see. You might be right. He definitely is not durable. He's had some injury history. We'll see. But I think he's got some burst. I think he's good if he's healthy. I just don't know if he's going to stay healthy. Yeah, he hasn't proven that yet.
The major question mark for him since he's been in the NFL is his ability to stay on the field.
It does make a point,
it's
though.
Rearing its ugly head again.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at a lot of the running backs that teams are using now, and they're producing, they weren't very high picks.
Right.
I mean, there aren't a ton of guys that were first, second-round picks that are producing. So you don't need the running backs like you used to. You need a couple of them, maybe even three.
You need to have...
But you don't necessarily need a top-five pick, top-ten pick.
You need quantity. You don't necessarily need the highest quality. Because you just need to plug a guy in there. If he knows your system, if he's a good fit for your system, he's generally going to go in there and produce. I mean, you see it all the time in the NFL. You see guys come out of obscurity.
It's a different league now. You need receivers. You draft receivers high.
Definitely draft receivers high. But you covet their skill sets more than you do a rank and file running back. Now, if you get the real special one, like a Dalvin Cook or a McCaffrey, the guy that's multidimensional, can catch 70 or 80 balls out of the backfield. Those guys are a bit of a different breed. But the plotter types, your Adrian Petersons especially, your Derrick Henrys, and I know that he's kind of top of the heap for his skill set.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys you don't need to burn like first and second round picks on. No. You just don't.
I'd much rather draft a receiver.
Those guys are all over the place. They're in every training camp, every single season.
Unless he's special. And, of course, you don't know if he's special until he plays 3, 4, 5 years.
Right.
But I would agree with you. You certainly need quantity.
You definitely need a lot of bodies.
Because these guys get hurt all the time. You need a backup. You've seen it all year long. You got to have three guys that you can really bank on.
Right.
And most of the time, they can all do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. So down the stretch, the Skins are going to rely on AP, Wendell Smallwood, and Chris Thompson. Those are your guys for the next three games.
In AP would be a sneaky, decent play in a fantasy playoff game because you know he's going to get 20 to 25 carries.
I think he's a great pickup.
Yeah.
At this point.
Now, he may not score, but you know he's going to get the attempts.
Right. He's going to get 18 to 20 carries because there just aren't any other bodies back there to take them away from him.
I went in to see if he was available in my one league. He's not.
Right.
I was going to pick him up.
Sure.
But you know he's going to get 20 to 25 carries.
Sure.
He may score. He's probably going to get 80 to 100 yards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because Haskins isn't going to be throwing the ball 40 times.
You know what? Another sneaky play is Chris Thompson, who joins us every week here on the Junks. He got 8 targets last week for the Skins, led the team. He had more targets than McLaurin. You know, he's not going to, you know, rip off 100 yards receiving, but if you're in a PPR league, if you get 7 catches from a running back.
What a PPR, that would help.
You're loving it.
Yeah, I would agree.
You're loving the way that works out.
All right. By the way, I wanted to mention this at the top of the show. I wanted to the Arlington police officer who was tailgating everyone on 66 this morning, right? Including me.
Okay.
Because all you wanted to do was pull someone over.
Yeah.
You're an a-hole. All right. So he got right behind me.
Mm-hmm.
I could see who it was.
Right.
He got right behind me. I switched to the right lane. He got right behind me again.
Hmm.
He was just tailing me to I was going 65
sure.
and 55. I mean, everyone was going the same speed. And then he finally, after a couple of miles, went to the left and got behind another car who wasn't going that fast. This yellow little sports car. He was probably going 67.
I've never seen a cop do that. Just pull up and tailgate.
And immediately hit the lights. That's all he wanted to do.
Right.
He was just tilting me. And he overall would have told him that, too. I said, you're an a-hole.
Oh, I don't know. I mean,
he was a jerk.
You do have freedom of speech. I don't know if that's the best time to exercise it.
Well,
or you're getting pulled over.
Let's be honest. Push comes to shove, probably wouldn't have said it.
Right.
But he was just being a jerk this morning.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't get on someone's ass like that.
I agree.
Because you can't tell at night. You can't tell if it's a cop or not. So if someone gets on your ass, sometimes you speed up.
Right.
Then what are you going to do? You're going to pull him over? What a jerk.
Now, on the other end of the spectrum was the...
That's a bad cop. I'm sorry.
Was the Metro Police officer that pulled over my Lyft driver on the way to the holiday drinking show for speeding down by the monuments. Wound up just giving him a warning. Just let him go. Right, no ticket. You know, he said, look, when you're down by the monuments, you need to know the speed limit. You need to slow it down. Can't be driving 45 miles an hour down here in a 30-mile-an-hour zone. Mm. Let him off with a warning. I was a bit surprised.
And then he pulled the guy over right on 66.
Yeah.
Where there was no lane. There was no side lane to pull him over.
Right.
He pulled him over in the left lane, mm-hmm. and there's a million cars on 66.
Yeah.
That's a dangerous spot to pull a guy over.
Sounds dangerous.
I mean,
this happened this morning.
I was just bitter.
This happened today.
Oh, yeah. Happened this morning.
Right.
And he was getting on everyone's butt.
Mm-hmm.
Got on mine. I switch lanes, got right behind me again.
Yeah. You know what? Your commute's long enough. You don't need any of that chicanery happening.
Well, I know.
You got enough going on.
I mean, it was just obvious that he wanted to pull someone over.
Yeah.
It's the only reason he did it.
Right.
All right, I just want to get that off my chest.
Well,
I'm sorry. Drabby, I just want to get that off my chest.
Fair enough. Hey, did you guys see the video of the UPS shootout? The driver that
I saw like 15 seconds of it. Yeah, I read it. It's a terrible story.
It's
an awful
story ever.
All right, hold
on. I don't know anything about police tactics.
All I know is, in a nutshell, some guys like robbed like a jewelry store.
Yeah.
In Miami.
All right.
And then they fled like out onto the highway. And then they took a UPS driver in his truck basically hostage. And I guess they started a shootout with the cops. And what, at least two people were killed?
The driver was killed.
And at least one other person may have been killed. But
so, Jason, there's going to be a massive lawsuit,
right.
Clearly. It was a police chase in a UPS truck. The UPS truck hits traffic,
mm-hmm.
starts shooting at the cops because they're all right there, and the cops start, and there's a billion other cars. The cops then are shooting back at the UPS truck, hiding behind civilians in their cars.
Okay.
In rush hour traffic.
Yeah, it was a wild scene.
And you said a civilian did get hit?
Well, I think a civilian in their cars got hit, but the UPS driver, who was a hostage, slumped out of the truck dead.
Wow.
27 years old. I think he was a father of like two daughters. I mean, just an awful, terrible story.
Yeah, I'm watching the video right now.
I'm kind of with you, Drab. Like, what are the rules of engagement there when there are clearly civilians all over the place? Traffic
well,
everywhere.
The worst part about it is that every police or every TV helicopter was in the sky.
Right.
You don't have to, look, I don't know anything. I don't think you got to be have 10 cars right behind
a
chase when you have a bird up in the sky that can just follow the thing wherever. Like,
right.
They're stealing jewelry. What's the crisis?
I agree. I don't know if the response was quite, the response seemed very elevated. It's an armed robbery. So it's a serious crime. But
so was the UPS driver killed by the...
By the police.
Oh, by the police.
By the police gunfire.
Wow. Yeah, that's a huge lawsuit. You're right. But I don't know the protocol on that. That's just a dangerous situation. You just want to get those guys off the street, but...
You've seen a million of these things. Police usually handle it awesome. It just looked completely bungled from the very beginning.
Yeah. Scary video, too.
And when
man.
Did this happen? This happened
I think
this
it was last
days.
Week.
Friday,
I think.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Okay. Hmm.
It's a terrible story.
So it's a controversy down there, the way they handled it. Is that what you're saying?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if, like Drab said, massive lawsuits coming.
Man.
So I hope they're up to date on their insurance premiums, because it's not going to be pretty. All right, when we come back, we'll be joined by Barry Svrluga, Washington Post sports columnist. We'll talk about the Steven Strasburg re-signing with the Washington Nationals.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.